Surely desire your prayers today. No matter how hard we try, no matter what our ability is, we can't accomplish anything without the Lord. We truly feel a dependence upon Him. Sometimes wonder if we really have the perspective of who we are, especially when it comes to who God knows we are. Sometimes we get the idea that what we look like, our hair and our eyes and shape of our face and so forth, we get the idea that's who we are. But it's not really who we are. Who we really are and what we really are has to do with the condition of the heart. And I want to ask the question, or the message this morning is asking the question, who has your heart? Who has it? Who does it belong to? Really, if you stop and consider it, it's a pretty important question. Maybe as we look into the scripture a little bit, we'll see it in a clearer way. I'd like to turn to Exodus, the 25th chapter of the book of Exodus. God speaking to His people through Moses. And He said, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." Now, every one of us are to present ourselves as an offering to the Lord. And what is it that we're offering Him today? Are we offering Him just the parts that we don't want? The things that we want to hold on to, the things that we think are important? Or are we willing to give Him everything that He is asking of us? We can put limits on what we give the Lord. We can put limits on it. And God won't force Himself past that limit that we put on it, because we have a will, and God won't override the will of man. So the scripture says that they bring an offering, every man that giveth it willingly. When you got saved, when I got saved, one of the reasons is I didn't want to go to hell. And I still don't. That's one reason why I got saved. But when I got saved, I asked the Lord to forgive me of all that I had done and the things that I didn't even remember. I want Him to forgive me of those things too. I want my sacrifice to the Lord to be whole, whole, and complete. I want to give Him everything. I want to give Him my heart. I want to give Him my life. Do you know that the heart and the soul are connected very closely? Very closely. So the heart is a very important thing. When Jesus came and through His ministry as He began to teach, things changed a little bit from the Old Testament teaching and the Old Testament ways. There were times in the Old Bible where there were men that loved God. Some saw Him face to face. Some were friends of God. The scripture says, today you and I are privileged to have His Son dwell within us. We are the tabernacle, aren't we? We'll talk about that a little bit. But I want to continue reading here. Every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering, this is what I want, that ye shall take of them gold and silver and brass, blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair. Ram skins dyed red, badger skins and shittim wood. Oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense. Onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. Now I believe that we can understand, even from the beginning, when God made Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says He would come down in the cool of the evening to talk to them. He always wanted to be a part of us. He wanted us to make Him a part of us. He always wanted communication with us. He wanted His presence to be among us, because He knew that He was life for us. He's still life for us today. It takes a willing offering from you and I in order to sustain the tabernacle, this old body. To sustain the tabernacle, or the place where God sent His Son to come down and live and dwell in our hearts, in this old body. Who has our hearts today? You notice that the requirements, He said, this is the offering that I want. And the things that He required were precious things. They were expensive things to those people. They didn't have abundance of what people have today, but they were precious things. And God knew that these things were something that may tug at their heart a little bit. Something that they may have a human desire to hold on to. Something that would entice them. God wanted the precious things. He wants the precious things of you and I today. He wants it all, folks. He wants us to put ourselves on the altar, and put our families on the altar, and put everything that we have on the altar, and give it to the Lord as a sacrifice. Precious things. Things that would sustain the tabernacle. He said in verse 8, He said that I may dwell among them. A place where that would be fitting for God to come down and dwell among them. For a place that where He could put His glory and put His presence among them. It required something precious. And it still requires things today that are precious. Precious to God. Things that may be precious to us. I believe this is one of the reasons why people don't want to take the way of the cross. It's because they don't want to give up the precious things. The things that are very dear to them. Folks, if you have things today that are very dear to you and you're not willing to give it to God, those are the very things the devil is going to work through. The very things that the devil is going to work through. And notice here, He said in verse 6, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense. Anointing oil was used in the dedication and the consecration of the tabernacle. Anointing oil was used it was a special oil. The scripture bears out how it was to be made and according to the art of the apothecary. And it was a special oil. And it was to be poured upon Aaron and upon his sons. And it was to be poured all around on the tabernacle, on the fixings of the tabernacle. And it was to be an anointing oil. And it was to be such a special oil that it wasn't to be used for anything else. It wasn't to be used for anything else. We have that anointing oil today, don't we? The Bible teaches us that it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit come to anoint us. He come to give life. He come to give power. He come to give grace. He come to teach us the truth. And I thank the Lord for the holy anointing oil today. But you and I are to be holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. given unto God, complete. He wants it all. He doesn't want half a sacrifice. He doesn't want part of what of your life, of your heart. He wants it all. He wants us to give Him everything that He can come down and dwell within us and find a place of rest. Find a place of trust. Find a place that He can come down and communicate with you and I. And in order for Him to do that, we got to give it all to Him. If we hold anything back, we can restrict and will restrict what God can do for us when we hold things back. But He's looking for a place to dwell. And it's going to take you and I doing some things to make that possible. We are the New Testament tabernacle. And we are responsible for the building. And how we build it. And what we put into it. Now, for almost 30 years of my working life, I was a millwright. And I worked in maintenance, they called it. I was a maintenance man. They had machinery that I worked on that was always, one way or another, in need of some kind of repair. Brother Rick is a carpenter, and he works in the trades. And he notices from all the houses and homes that he's worked on that, folks, in order for us to have a building of God, in order for us to have a place for Christ to come in and dwell, we've got to continually do the maintenance on it. Because as we go through life and we face different things in life, there are struggles, there are battles, there are challenges. There are trials that we're going to go through, and sometimes they may get us down. Sometimes they may make us a little weary, and we've got to do maintenance to see to it that we keep ourselves strong and in the center of God's will, the center of His will, not to the right, not to the left, but to the center of God's will, where we can please Him and have His abiding presence in our hearts. Who has your heart today? We've got to maintain this thing. So we've got some work to do. And it seems to me, after all these years, that the longer we live, the more we see the needs that we have. The more that we think that we've got it right, and that everything is just the way that it ought to be, is when the Lord is going to allow us to go through something, to face a hard test, maybe, to help us to see who we are and where we are and what we need. And learn how to dedicate and consecrate and commit it to the Lord. When this tabernacle was done, and even Solomon in his day, when he made all the things and put them in the sanctuary, folks, there was a dedication time. Those things were dedicated to God. There were bowls, there were spoons, there was utensils that was used in the service of the Lord in the tabernacle, and they weren't to be used for anything else. They were holy unto the Lord. They were consecrated to the Lord. There's an old king that got in trouble in his day because he called for those utensils, and he and his buddies was drinking wine out of them and doing those kind of things and parting with the things that was dedicated to God. And it said there was a hand came down and began to write on the wall. And he began to fear and tremble. Folks, God takes note of this thing. To be a child of God is the highest calling I know of. It's higher than any calling in this world. Any king, queen, or anything of royalty, to be a child of God, folks, we are royalty. We have the blood of His dear Son flowing through our veins in a spiritual sense. And I thank the Lord for it today. We have needs. We have adjustments that we have to make from time to time in our walk with the Lord. And one of the things that I found out is this old flesh. I'm going to have to subdue this old flesh. The lust and the desires of the flesh. It's just the way it is. I'd like for us to look at a scripture. It's found in the Song of Solomon. You've heard it probably many times. We haven't read it for a long time. But in Song of Solomon, the second chapter, and the 15th verse, he says, take us the foxes. The little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Now I want us to take that in consideration this morning. As we consider our heart, where is it really? Who can pull the strings of our heart? Can our children pull it? Can our companions pull it? Can our grandchildren pull it? Folks, we put value on things, and don't tell me we don't. Things are very valuable to us, and these some things ought to be valuable to us. But there's nothing that supersedes the love and the desire that we ought to have for God. Nothing. But he says here, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. Now with that, let me add another verse of scripture, and I'll just quote it. But it's found in Romans 13:14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. I think those kind of go together. You see, it's my heart that I've got to guard. It's my heart that I've got to keep right. It's my heart that I've got to be sure has a deep divine love for God. It's my heart that's reaching out to Him. It's my affections that's reaching out to Him. Not the things of this world. Set your affections, the scripture says, on the things above and not on the things of this world. Little foxes, little things that come along. And these foxes, folks, they come straight from the devil. He knows how to come and hit us at our weak times. Times we're tired, times we're weary. He knows the avenues and the ways that He can get to you and I. He'll take the ones that we love the most and use them to get to us. Yes, He will. He will use others, those that are dear to us, to get to us and try to bring us down. Folks, we've got to keep ourselves on guard. These little foxes, which are the things of the world. Don't let your affections go out to those things. Don't let your affections go to anything that will dry up your spirituality. Things that will cause your mind to feast on things that you ought not to be feasting on. Things that you ought not to be thinking on. I have been here lately, I've been asking the Lord, Lord, the devil here is trying to make some impositions. Help me to bring my thoughts to the obedience of Christ. The little foxes. Some of us know sometimes what those little foxes are. They spoil the vine. What does that mean? They hinder the relationship that I have with God. They hinder a lot, they affect a lot of my life for the Lord. They can hinder my prayer life. They can take up time when I find I don't have time to read the Bible like I ought to. I can get lazy with these kind of things. Lethargy can set in. There's all kinds of little foxes that can come along and try to destroy or take away our affections from where they ought to be. Take us the foxes, the little foxes. Maybe it isn't some big thing. Maybe it isn't even something that is sin. Can I say that? Maybe it's something that we can get involved in, and the next thing you know, it kind of takes control of our time, and we just seem like we want to do that more and more and more. Maybe it ain't sin, but folks, I'm going to tell you, it can be made sin to you when it begins to take away or destroy your love for God. You got to protect that love that you have for God. We hear words from time to time, and they're in the Bible. Words like sacrifice. You know, these words here that I'm about to say, they cut across us. They're the cross. These words are really the cross. Like sacrifice. How much are we willing to sacrifice? The Lord told the children of Israel, He said, bring their offerings unto me and have them give to me willingly. Sacrifice is something that I go beyond. I go beyond. I may give something that I really need. There may be time that I really need, and I give that time to the Lord for someone else's benefit. Sacrifice. Abstinence. And I'm not talking about a sexual abstinence. I'm talking about you and I abstaining from the things that will drain us. The things that will cause us to be careless. Mortify. You've heard that one. Mortify. Deaden the members. Deaden those things in the flesh. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Folks, I'm telling you, there's all kinds of things out there to alienate your affections and draw you away, whether it's in your mind, whether it's in the pleasures of the flesh, whatever it might be. There's all kinds of ways that the devil has to make his appeal to you and I. To try to take away the affections of the heart. Mortify, deaden. Another one is surrender. And consecrate. You know, I've said this before, I'd like to say it again for our remembrance. When we come before the Lord and to be sanctified, or whatever it is that we're seeking for, and we surrender that to the Lord, and we consecrate that to the Lord, it's His now. It belongs to Him now. But we do that in a moment of conviction on our heart. We do that in a moment of duress, maybe. We do that in that moment, in the heated moment of time when we feel a need. But folks, the time will come whenever we find ourselves in situations that we're going to have to stand by that consecration. Even when the feelings are gone. Even when the feelings are gone. Because this is not a feeling way, folks. It's a consecration. It's a surrender. It's mortifying. Paul said, I bring under my body, lest when I preach to others, I myself am a castaway. Bring it under. Mortify. I've got some work to do. I got some maintenance to do on me. I don't have time to do this maintenance on you folks. This is an individual relationship and walk with the Lord. You're going to have to do the maintenance. You're going to have to bring it under. You're going to have to consecrate. You're going to have to do the surrendering. Remember the little foxes, the things that come in to vie for your affection, for your time. Folks, I want to tell you, time's valuable. We only have a little bit of it here. Time can be very short. And the devil knows that. I may not have tomorrow. I don't know. But the time that I have today, I need to use it wisely. And I need to give it to the Lord. Am I going to have to fight to do this? Yes, I am. I'm going to have to fight the good fight of faith, aren't I? In order to lay hold on eternal life. In order for me to be successful in my relationship with God, to keep these foxes and these other things out that would come in and try to hinder me, I'm going to have some self-control with the aid of the Holy Spirit. I've got to have some control with the aid of the Holy Spirit because we cannot do this without God. But folks, we got to bring ourselves under. We've got to mortify. We've got to sacrifice. We've got to abstain from those things that would cause our heart to suffer. We don't want our heart to suffer. We want our heart to be healthy. A good, healthy heart. Some of us in here, and I can tell you, I know what it means when a heart is not healthy. It can bring on some pretty serious pains. It can bring on some very serious pains. When a heart is not healthy, it can cause a lot of problems spiritually when a heart is not healthy. The Bible tells us, there were some folks at Ephesus that lost something. They lost their first love. Saints, I believe, this is what I believe this morning. I believe that the devil is fighting to try to take away our burning love, desire for God. He would love to destroy the love that you have for God today. If he can destroy and take away that love, he will soon have you right in his clutches. If he can take away that love. Christ must become our most valuable possession. The most valuable possession. People today take their valuables and they put them in lock boxes. And they put them in safes. And they put them in safe deposit boxes. And they put them in all these kind of things. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, we need God's Holy Spirit to surround our hearts, to keep that love in there, to protect that love, that love will always be hot. He said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Folks, iniquity is abounding. Sin is on every hand. It's getting greater. People are getting more evil, more wicked. Seems like all the time. Perverted in their ways and in their thinking. People at Ephesus lost their first love. Lord, help us to guard that love, folks. I'm not talking about a filial love that you have for children or family, but I'm talking about a divine love. That love that's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Folks, that's valuable. I want you to know that's valuable. Who has your heart? Where is that? That basically I'm asking, where is your love? Whenever Stephen was being stoned and life was going out of his body, he asked God not to lay the sin to their charge. Folks, they destroyed him. They took his life, but they couldn't take his love. He still had his love for souls. He had a divine love that only the devil can't destroy if we'll guard it, if we'll protect it. Don't lose that love. The Lord told them over there in Ephesus, because they had left their first love, he had something against them. And he told them what to do about it. You know, sometimes I see people get confused. They don't know whether it's God talking to them or whether it's the devil talking to them. I can tell you, it's very easy, because when the devil comes and talks to you, he gets you down and he stomps on you and he never shows you a way out of it. When the Lord's talking to you, and telling you got a problem, he always gives you a way out. He'll always give you a way out, folks. He's full of hope. He's full of compassion and he's full of mercy for you and I. Folks, I'm convinced he does remember that we're dust. And this old flesh is dust and it's weak and it's corrupt. And if we don't guard this heart that I've been talking about this morning, this flesh will get the best of us. It'll get the best of you. What do you want today? What are you guarding today? The love of many has waxed cold, Jesus said. That means at one time it was hot. Is your love just as hot today as it was yesterday? Is it just as hot today? Is your desire just as great to God today as it was when you got saved? We need to check ourselves, don't we? We got to do some maintenance on ourselves sometimes. Those folks at Ephesus, something happened to them. I figure that they must have allowed their affections to wander off. You've heard that term, alienation of affection? Something else got their affection. Something else got their desire. Lord, help us today. It's so easy to do. It's easy to do, folks. Who has your heart? In other words, who will you let or allow you to lose the love of God out of your heart? Who will you allow? What will you allow? What kind of a test? What kind of a trial? What kind of a sickness? What kind of a loved one will you love more than you love God? Folks, He wants to be and must be first in our lives. I'd like to look at a scripture now in 2 Kings. I thought this was so good. 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter. We'll begin right at the first verse. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. He read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. You know, I was reading even this morning. I've read, there are several places that it says it. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Sometimes people can say things to you and it'll go in one ear and out the other. Sometimes you've got your mind on something so strong, people are saying something they think is important and you miss it. But I want to tell you something this morning. When God speaks to our hearts, when God has a desire to work in our hearts and in our lives, folks, we better listen to hear what He has to say. Because only what He has to say will make the difference. It's the only thing that'll make the difference. He said, He went on to say, in one place, the things that you don't have, they'll be taken away and it'll be given to others that do have. It says here that they read the books in the ears of the words of the book in the ears of all the congregation of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. That's the word there. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Folks, it's imperative that this is the position of the church today. This must be the position of the church today. To stand to the covenant that we have with God. And the only way, we don't do that so much with the flesh. We do that with the covenant that we've made with God in our hearts. With the desire that we have to God. The humility, the love, the sacrifice, the surrender, the consecration, the dedication. Folks, when you dedicated your life to God, you belong to Him. And it's not to be, that temple is not to be used for anything else but for God. Putting Him first and foremost in everything that we do in our lives. I know we live life, I understand that. But you know what I'm saying this morning. We must be dedicated, consecrated, wholly given unto Him. That's New Testament scripture. Wholly given unto the Lord. Consecrated to Him. And it must be, folks, the challenges are all around us. And they're getting greater all the time. The pressures are coming down on Christianity itself. And you and I today that love the truth, and love the Lord and have hid His truth in our hearts, folks. We've got to guard this. We've got to protect this. There's a covenant. We must have a covenant relationship with God. Covenants are based on vows. You make a vow. Now, there's a scripture, and you know it well, in Ecclesiastes. Better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not keep it. Better not to do that. We need to look at this relationship we have with God as a covenant relationship. Remember David and Jonathan? How they loved one another? They became blood brothers. They became, the heart of Jonathan was knit to the heart of David. And it said, and I believe that back in those days they took and cut themselves on the hand and put their blood together. They made a vow. They made a covenant. They would protect and defend one another. They would always love one another. Folks, we have made a vow to God, and it is a blood covenant. Jesus sealed it on Calvary. We made a covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've got to stand by this covenant in the trials, in the temptations. At times when other people aren't standing by the covenant, we got to stand by it. And I'm going to tell you something. Puppy love will not sustain us. It's not a puppy love thing, folks. It's a real divine love. It's you and I working every day, going to that throne of grace. Oh yes, we ask the Lord to bless everyone that we can think of. But folks, we need to ask the Lord to bless us. We need to ask the Lord to have mercy on us. And we need to ask Him to help us to keep our love hot in the midst of all the iniquity that's going on in the world. You know, we're going to have to endure some things to get to heaven. I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have learned that. We're going to have to, oh, you want to go to heaven? Yeah, well, are you ready to do some enduring? Brother Isaac Chandler said enduring times are not always shouting times. Doesn't mean you feel like shouting all the time. Enduring means there's going to be some hardships. Enduring means that I'm going to be faithful at whatever comes my way. Do you know I want to talk about faithfulness for just a bit? Faithfulness will lead to faith. If I'm faithful at my post of duty, if I'm faithful to the covenant that I have made with God, folks, it will lead to greater faith and greater power and greater grace in my life if I'm faithful. Just got to be faithful. Don't give in to the things of the enemy, the little foxes. Keep your guard for those kind of things. Faithfulness is not something that just acts for the moment. It is something that will endure. It is something that will sustain us. Faithfulness is something that will keep us in our hard, difficult times of trouble. Folks, Moses stayed faithful while the whole congregation was murmuring and complaining. Think about that. Everybody around him, all the people murmuring and complaining and dissatisfied with God. Folks, that's going on out there today. You and I've got to be faithful in the midst of all the murmuring and the complaining and see God for who and what He really is. A covenant relationship. A blood relationship. Do you know divine love and faithfulness will endure the hardness? It'll endure the hard things. If we have that divine love and we're faithful, it'll endure. It'll bring us through. Because of God's promises, I'll be with you always, even unto the end. Do you know with faithful people, God will take care of the church. You see, I've pretty much always had the church at heart. I care about the church and love the church with faithful people. Faithful people. God will take care of the church. You remember my little analogy of the thermostat Christians? thermostats and the thermometer Christians. When it gets a little hot in the thermometer rises, people start fretting. They start getting afraid. They start murmuring. They do a lot of things. But you take a good old thermostat Christian, you can set that on a certain temperature and they'll stay right there through it all. Now, what do you want to be? Thermometer or thermostat? Lord, help us to be thermostats. I can set this thing on 72 or 70, whatever it is you like it the best in your house. I can set this thing where God wants me to set it, and I can keep it there because I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to trust God while everybody else is doing their thing. Be faithful at my post of duty. Christ, faithfulness to the cross, is why we're saved today. It isn't the miracles that He did. It isn't the people that He brought back to life and all the diseases that He healed. But it was His faithfulness to go to the cross. And because He did, we're saved today. Do you know He was too faithful even to save Himself? He could have called on what? 12 legions of angels. But He was too faithful to us, folks, that He wouldn't even save Himself. He committed it all to His Father. And He trusted it all in Him. Lord, help us today. I know this requires extra grace. It requires extra strength. It may even require fasting and praying. Whatever it takes. I thought of that song while I was thinking of some of these thoughts. The song that Sister Diane used to sing it at some time. Whatever it takes, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. Who has your heart? Does God have it? Or does everything else have it? How susceptible is your heart to being led astray? By the little foxes? By the people around you? By the ones that you love? Do you know that if you can live, if you will live a faithful life, it will help stabilize other people? You living faithful will help stabilize those around you. When they look on that and they say, oh, you know, I sure would love to be like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Folks, there isn't anything that brother and sister so-and-so is doing that you can't do. There's a place every one of us can get to have power with God and be faithful. It'll stabilize other people. Being faithful to assemble ourselves. Being faithful to pray. Being faithful to live a holy life in the midst of all this. In the midst of our perverted world today, and it is so perverted, it grieves me to see how perverted that it is. Lord, help us today. Saints, we can do it. By the grace of God. We can do it. Jesus didn't die and go back to heaven and say, now you're on your own. He's still there ministering to you and I. Imparting grace. Increasing faith. Giving power. Increasing love. When we desire it. When we ask for it. We got work to do. After we bless everybody, let's pray and ask God, Lord, give me wisdom, give me understanding, give me that power. Increase my faith. Increase my vision of where I'm at today. Folks, we can get so careless, even in our just drawing within our own selves and not realize the things that are designed around us to bring us down. You understand what I mean? The things that are around us today to bring us down, to sap the very spiritual life right out of us. Well, I'm going to finish this up with a scripture over in Romans. Probably you know which one it is. Romans, the 8th chapter. I want to begin, though, at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, what does God want you and I to look like today? He wants you and I to portray the image of his Son. To be conformed. In other words, to allow God to take everything away that's not like his image. Let God cut off. Let God destroy everything that is not the image of Christ. Folks, I know, I understand this morning that what we're talking about takes great faith. It takes great courage and it takes great determination. But folks, there is a place by Christ that we can have the glory of God dwelling within our hearts to keep us even in these evil last days of time. He said, let not your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, the cares of life, lest that day come upon you unawares. Can it come upon a Christian unawares? Well, we have the 25th chapter of Matthew, don't we? There's five wise and five foolish, but they were all virgins, and the day come upon them unawares. Five of them didn't have enough oil while they were going to get it, the bridegroom came. Lord help us. This is serious. Very serious. Praying for the soul the other day, talking with them and counseling, and then said they wanted prayer. And I said, well, what do you want us to pray for? And they looked at us and said, my soul. They realized how what they had was valuable. What was valuable was their soul. It's exactly what they said. My soul. I want you to pray for my soul. Folks, what you look like to one another, that's not you. But what's down inside of you? That heart, that soul that will live forever out there in eternity. That's you. That's you. And Lord, help us to realize that. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Thank the Lord. You just stay in the center of God's will, folks. If he's for you, who's going to bring you down? Who can be against you? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who? There it is. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Thank the Lord. Who? These are questions. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, I was thinking about the little foxes. And I thought of a time when I was with one of my youngest brother, Charles. We was over at our oldest brother's house. And older brother, he had planted him a little garden out there in the backyard. My brother, looking around, he says, you got any weeds? He said, I didn't plant any. Folks, I got news for you. You don't have to plant the weeds. You just plant the garden and you're going to be going back. If you keep a nice, neat garden, and you're going to be cleaning the weeds out probably every week. One of them smiled at the other one. He said, I didn't plant any. The devil plants the weeds, doesn't he? With the little foxes to come along and try to hinder us and try to discourage us. Who shall separate us? What are you going to allow to separate you from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. You know, that scripture reminds me of a parable that the Lord gave about sowing the seed. Seed that was not sown on good ground, but hard ground. It said they went along for a while, but when these things came, the distress, the tribulation, and the persecution, when those things came, they were not able to endure. It's up to you and I to till the ground. Break up the fallow ground. Sow to yourself in righteousness, the scripture says. Nay, verse 37, and all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He covered a lot of territory there. He covered a lot of what you and I face and deal with in life. But Paul here was, and he went through some of that, didn't he? Perils of his own countrymen, perils of his life, shipwreck, beaten, all those kind of things. No height, no depth, nor any other creature is going to separate us from the love of God. Do you have that kind of consecration? Do you have that kind of relationship? Do you have that kind of desire and purpose? You know, I can intend to do something and I can forget. But if I have the love of God in my heart and I intend to make heaven, I believe God's love will minister grace to my soul and help me see to it that I take care of the things that I intended to take care of and to do the things that I need to do in order to be successful in my walk with God. There are many things, folks, that's going to come to you in your life. Hard things. Things you didn't expect. Well, I didn't see that coming. It's going to be those kind of things. Things you don't know what to do with. Things you don't understand. Things that you just have to take to God, consecrate it, and give it to Him, and let Him work. Who has your heart? Where's your affection today? Lord, help us that we'll keep our divine love and our vows intact. Because if you're saved and you're sanctified this morning, you have made some vows to God. You've done that. May the Lord help us to see the importance of that need that we have to keep those vows and to be faithful. I've said a few things about faithfulness. Lord, help us to be faithful. This little group right here, folks, you don't know what God might want to do with us if we'll just be faithful. Wednesday night, I realized there's a lot of people. There was people out of town, people sick, people live far away. There were three of us here Wednesday night. Be faithful. We had a good prayer time and a discussion. about some things. But the most important thing of all to me was we were in the presence of God. Because God said He'd meet us here. Be faithful, saints. Guard your heart. Guard your life. Those things that are temptations to you, those things that will draw you away, put them on the altar. And leave them there. And leave them there. When the enemy comes along and he wants to fight you with it, you tell him, it's on the altar. I gave it to God. You're going to have to go see God about those things. Didn't that what Paul said? I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Till that day. Unto that day. Give it to him. Commit it to him. Give it to God, folks. There's too many things, too many trials, too many tests. We sang the song, or I brought the song out. I didn't sing it, but I read some words about when I get to the end of the way, the toils of this life will seem nothing. Oh, it can seem pretty tough from day to day, can it? But the toils of this life will seem nothing. The toils of the road, the song says, will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. And you can rest assured, no matter what age we are today, one day we'll get to the end of the way. One day we will. May the Lord help us to be faithful. Guard your heart. Guard your spiritual walk with the Lord. Your consecration, your vows. I hope they're precious to us. You know, vows people are making today don't seem to be all that precious. They break them pretty easily today. But folks, this is the soul that we're talking about. Who has it today? Let's give it all to God. Commit it all into His hands. And He promised to take care of us. Pray for me that I'll be able to do that. Amen.